We welcome you this morning. Again, we are thankful to have you here today. We have a very special guest speaker that is a friend of Concord Baptist Church. In 2003, Missouri Baptist Convention began a partnership with the Romanian Baptist Convention. And Dr. Paul Negrut was pastor at Emmanuel Baptist Church in Oradea. He was also president of the Romanian Baptist Convention of Churches at that time. So we came to know him then. And through the years, he's proven to be such a great friend, not just to our church, but to Missouri Baptist churches and to churches all around the world. So yesterday, I drove to Springfield to the airport and picked them up yesterday afternoon, Dr. and Mrs. Negrut. And this is the first time Miss Delia has been able to be with us, and so we're very, very thankful that she could be here. But they had been in Atlanta, flew into Atlanta, I think, on Friday, had some meetings in Atlanta, flew to Springfield yesterday. He's preaching at a Romanian Pentecostal church in Springfield tonight. He is flying from there to Austin, Texas, back to Little Rock, Arkansas, over to Naples, Florida, back to California, and then back to Oklahoma City, and then home in the next 3 days. No, I'm not serious about that. Over the next 2 weeks. So he's going to be preaching a lot of different places. We stopped to eat at Bandanas on our way up here last night because they were hungry and he wanted ribs. So we stopped at Bandanas to get ribs. But in the issue of ordering, the poor young lady that was waiting on us had a bit of a problem with the accent. And I finally looked at her and said, "They ain't from around here." She understood that. Dr. Negrut, I have been pastor at Concord. I'm in my 29th year, which is a long time. Say amen. Yeah, it is a long time. He's in his 39th year at Emmanuel Baptist Church. That is a long time. He's 10 years older than I am, and that is a long time. But president of Emmanuel University and Seminary, a man that has preached all around the world. Would you welcome today Dr. Paul Negrut? You can just call him Brother Paul. Brother Paul, would you come?
Thank you. Welcome. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Pastor, for such a very, very, very long introduction. May I invite you to join me on a spiritual journey 2,000 years back in time to the Holy Land. We do that as we open the Bible to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26. The Gospel of Matthew, 26. And we shall focus on verses 36 to 46. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26. Before we read this passage, it is a very heavy atmosphere. Jesus was with his disciples in the upper room. He instituted the new covenant. He told them that one of them will betray him. He told them that all of them will forsake him. It was a very intense atmosphere. When he finished the discourse in the upper room, he invited his disciples to join him into the Garden of Gethsemane. So just remember that we are there with this heavy atmosphere. All of the disciples were shocked. They couldn't believe that one of them will betray him. They were not willing to accept that all of them will flee and abandon him. So as they joined the garden, then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray. He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Could you men not keep watch with me for 1 hour?" he asked Peter. "Watch and pray, so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak." He went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to his disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour is near, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." I invite you to join me into this spiritual journey, into the Garden of Gethsemane. A unique moment in the life of our Lord. And the message this morning is, how can we stay awake when Christ is calling us? How can we stay awake when Christ is calling us? We all know that the only true God whom we worship is Almighty God. Our God is the only true God and the only Almighty God. That means he can do whatever he wants and needs nobody. He can do whatever he wants. When he created the whole world, he didn't ask us to help him. He just said a word and the whole universe came into being. He didn't ask me and said, "Paul, could you come along and hold up the sun for me for a few seconds?" He just said a word because he's almighty. But our almighty God is our loving Father. And as a loving Father, he invites us to join him. Together with my wife, we are blessed with two beautiful daughters. They look like my wife. We love our daughters. When one of them was young, just a tiny little girl there in our backyard, I had to do something, to work something in the backyard, and one of the things I had to do was to push a big rock from one place to another. So I bent over and I moved that rock and I pushed it, and my little girl came along and she put her tiny hand on that rock. And she pushed with me. When the job was done, she ran into the house and said, "Mommy, Mommy, do you know what I and Daddy did? We pushed that big rock." Now, I could have told her, "Well, come on. You mostly disturbed me there." But because I love her, I said, "I'm so proud of you because you came along." Our Almighty God is our loving Father, and He is inviting us to join Him. And the day will come when He said, I'm so proud of you. The words will be well done. Now, because He is such a loving God, He illustrated that for us in so many stories, but one of them is the story with that little child with five loaves and two fish out there in the deserted place. You know the story. Jesus was preaching all the day long, and the evening came, and the disciples were concerned and said, Master, why don't you dismiss the crowd so they will go through the villages around and buy something to eat because they are starving? Now, Jesus is God. He is the Son of God, and He has all power in the heavens and on earth. He is the one who created the whole universe. So right there in the wilderness, He could have called into being any fast food restaurants of the world. Just call them into being and invite those thousands to go there and have the meal of their choice. Now imagine that were the case. Can you imagine that fast food restaurant not having the story, we and Jesus? But that day Jesus took a small boy with his lunch, and out of those five loaves and two fish, He multiplied, He blessed them, and He fed 5,000 hungry men. Imagine that little boy going home that night. Mommy, Mommy, do you know what I and Jesus did? Mommy, I and Jesus fed 5,000 hungry men. What a story for a young boy. I and Jesus. Do you have such a story, you and Jesus? He loves me, He loves you. He's inviting us to join Him and have a story. I and Jesus. Now here in our scripture, He invited His disciples. And He asked them to join Him and say, stay here and watch with me for 1 hour. And you know what happened? They all went and they all fell asleep. I had a strange experience some years ago as I was working as an interim pastor for a small village church in Romania. They were without pastors and they asked me to help them. So for about 1 year, I was the interim pastor. Usually I would meet with them from 3 o'clock on Sunday afternoon to 5 o'clock Sunday afternoon. There was a very special gentleman in that church. He was always in time. He never came late to church. He never ran as soon as he assumed that I am coming to a close. Actually, he would be the last one to leave the place. But there was something strange with that man. Whenever I stood up to start my sermon, he switched off and he went to sleep right there in the pew. I can shout. And I shouted. He never woke up. But then whenever I finished my sermon and when I said the final amen, he switched on and he was fully awake. That man never missed one of my sermons, but actually he never heard one. He was always there, always sleeping. I could not keep him awake. 1 year, every Sunday, he will be there and he will be sleeping. So Jesus is calling His disciples, and I would like to learn from Jesus how to stay awake, because He was the only one who was awake that night. So he came to his disciples and said, stay here and keep watch with me. Well, Jesus said, stay here and expect something unusual to happen. Stay here and have expectation. If we are invited to watch, that means something is going to happen. And he invited the disciples to have amazing expectation that night. Because whenever we have expectations, we'll stay awake. When we have no expectations, it's so easy that my mind and your mind will fall asleep. It's so easy for us to be physically present but spiritually absent because we have no expectation. Stay here and watch with me. Stay here and wait. Be alert because something is going to happen. But you know, Peter, John, and James had no expectations that night. No expectations. For them, it was business as usual. They've been to that garden many times before. There was nothing special. No expectations. Whenever the church has no expectation, the church will fall asleep. During the long and dark decades of communist persecution, we were awake. We had expectations. Whenever I would leave the house, the home, and go preaching, my wife was awake because she never knew if I will ever come back home. When I left home, I never knew if I will have my family again when I come home. So we had expectations every day. We look up to heaven and said, Lord, we expect you to protect us. When the name of God was mocked, when he was denied, when pastors were arrested and put in jail, when our children were humiliated in schools, we had expectation for God to intervene. In every meeting, we look up to heaven and say, Lord, we are here to watch and pray. And nobody fell asleep. But you see, the freedom came. Do you know what happens in freedom? There are no visible threats. We think that every Sunday it's business as usual. Do you know that in time of freedom and peace, if we have no expectations, it would be so easy to fall asleep? Jesus came to them and said, stay here and watch and pray with me. Have expectations. May I be a little more personal this morning? What are your expectations for today? What do you expect from God today? What are your expectations? Jesus came to them second time. He returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Could you men not keep watch with me for 1 hour? When Jesus said, could you not keep watch with me for 1 hour? Actually said, to stay awake, you must understand the time. Understand the time. Throughout his years of public ministry, Jesus said time and again, my hour has not yet come. Because Ecclesiastes 1 tells us that everything under the sun has its own time. So now Jesus said, could you not stay here with me and watch for 1 hour? Do you not understand this very hour? There was a unique hour. That hour, God the Father from glory and God the Son from down the earth, they were talking live. What an hour. The Son was here. He was with his face to the ground, talking to his Father on the throne of glory. Do you know what they were talking about? About you and me. God the Son said, Father, is there another way for the salvation of my disciples? For the salvation of the lost sinners? Is there another way? And God the Father said, no, Son. There is no other way, but only the way of the cross. There's only one way. And God the Son asked the second time, Father, are you sure there is not another way? Isn't there another way that you will save sinners without the sacrifice on the cross? And the Father said, no, Son. There's no other way. Now you see what's amazing to most of us who believe that Jesus is the only way. When we hear theologians telling us there are many ways to God, do you know who doesn't know that? God himself. Because there's no other way. The only way for you and for me to be saved is the glory of the cross, is the suffering, the sacrifice. So God the Father and God the Son were discussing, they were talking about you and me, about your salvation, about Peter's salvation. And why Jesus talked about their salvation, you know what they did? They slept and they slept and they slept. Because they didn't understand that hour. Should Peter understand that that will be his last hour with Jesus before his resurrection? Do you think that Peter would have slept? Knowing Peter, he would have pinched himself and asked John and James to kick him to keep him alive and awake. But he thought, there's nothing special on this hour. Do we understand our hour? Let me tell you what is happening in our part of the world. This very hour, Europe, the continent of the Protestant Reformation, the continent of great revivals, is no longer secular, it is increasingly pagan. Paganism is taking over Europe. And churches are sleeping. Do you know that this very hour, on the whole continent of Europe, Emmanuel University is the only fully accredited conservative Baptist university on the entire continent? Let me repeat it. Emmanuel University is the only fully accredited conservative Baptist university on the entire continent of Europe. Imagine millions of students that are studying in the public pagan universities of Europe. In that continent, under that cloud of darkness, God has called Emmanuel University to stand firm for Christ and not to fall asleep. What is happening around you? Do we believe that we have so many other hours? Or are we aware that for some people around us, this may be the last hour when the offer of salvation is offered to them? Are we aware that some dearest one that we see today, we may never see them again? Are we aware that this very Sunday could be the last Sunday for some of us? Are we aware that this very hour, there's such a confrontation between darkness and light? Could you men not keep with me, watch and pray for 1 hour? So Jesus went the third time because he understood the time. He expected God the Father to speak to him. And he went saying, if there is not another way, your will be done. That means be ready to pay the price. Be ready to pay the price. When God the Son asked, Father, isn't that another way? And God the Father said, no, Son. This is the only way of salvation. God the Son said, your will be done. He said, Father, I'm ready to pay the price. I'm ready to pay the price of salvation. So when Jesus took that cup, he took your sins and my sins upon himself. He was willing to go to the cross and being nailed and being there tortured, being humiliated and mocked. He was there crying, my Father, why hast thou forsaken me? He was willing to pay the ultimate price, and he was awake. Now we know that our salvation has been fully achieved in the cross of Christ, plus nothing, minus nothing. There is nothing we can add to the price that was paid for our salvation. There is nothing that could be taken away. It has been paid in full. When Jesus said, it is finished, it was finished. Our salvation has been purchased. But is there a price for us to pay? Not for our salvation. If I may use biblical terms, it's not for our propitiation, but it's the price to pay for the propagation of the gospel. Because the message of salvation was entrusted to the disciples when Jesus rose from the dead. He commissioned them to go into the whole world and take the gospel to all the nations of the world. And there is a price to be paid for that. And those who are willing to pay the price, they are staying awake. During the communist days, a great man of God from our country, known for his amazing gift of writing Christian music, was arrested by the communists, asked that he would stop writing that Christian garbage, as they said, and offer him the opportunity to write communist music. Music that would praise atheism, the communist leaders, and the communist achievements. This man of God looked at his communist leaders and said, as long as I live, I will write only for Jesus. For that crime, he was put in jail 17 years. 17 years in jail. Whilst in jail, he was tortured every day to stop writing and give up his faith and service to Jesus. Every day, he will go back to his prison cell and he will write another song to Jesus. He didn't have paper and pencil. He wrote all the songs in his memory. the music and the lyrics. And he will teach other inmates those songs, and they will sing there by night. And some of those inmates were let free to go home. They will came with those songs from jail. And they spread among the churches that were still meeting in hiding. You should hear those songs. I met that man of God at a difficult time of persecution in our life as a family. I will not go into detail today, but one night God arranged for me in a miraculous way to go and visit this man as he came out after 17 years from jail. I met him, and I expected to get the encouragement that I was needed to press on and do not give up. Get to his small village house without electricity, just the lamp, walked in, and I couldn't believe this old man now. He was bleeding with open scars on his head and face. So I asked him, what's going on? And he told me that the communist police came late that evening by his home, confiscate his manuscripts, and torture him. I was angry, I was upset with the communists and what they are doing. And this man of God looked at me and said, Brother Paul, we are not here to be angry or to complain. We are here to praise our Lord Jesus. Let's kneel down and pray. We knelt. I had some words, not a prayer, because my heart was filled with anger. Then he began to pray, and he exploded in praise. He praised God for the grace I was given to be saved through the blood of Christ. He praised God for the grace to suffer for Christ. And he went on to pray and ask God to bless his communist torturers. Now, when he prayed for his torturer, I opened my eyes to see if this man is mentally sound. Can you pray that God will bless your torturer? As he was praying, in spite of his bleeding face, he had a glowing face. When his prayer was finished, we stood up, he looked at me and said, Brother Paul, let me tell you something. Throughout the years, whenever they tortured me, I looked straight into the eyes of my torturer and said to him, Sir, I want you to know that I love you. And God loves you. And sir, one day we shall see each other before the throne of judgment. Even on that great day, I want you to know that I love you. And Jesus loves you. But sir, if you will spend eternity separated from God, I want you to remember that it's not because I hate you, but because you reject love. My love and Jesus' love, I love you. Can you imagine this love language with your torturer? A few more years, and mid-80s, the very secret police officer that constantly tortured this man came by his home one night. And our brother thought that maybe that will be his last evening because they planned to murder him. But to his surprise, the officer came to me and said, Tonight I didn't come to confiscate your manuscripts. I didn't come to torture you. Tonight I came to let you know that we shall see each other before the throne of grace. And do you know that we will be on the same side? Because through your love, through your testimony, I came to know Christ personally. And I gave my life to Jesus. And before I meet you up there, I came to ask your forgiveness down here. And I came to kneel down and pray together with you. Can you imagine? The tortured one and the torturer kneeling down before the throne of grace. Because there is a price to be paid to take the gospel to the next person. What would be your price and my price? What are you willing to pay that the gospel will go from this person to that person, from this place to that place? I know that this is a great missionary church. We've been blessing Romania, but your commitment, your willingness to pay the price for the gospel. We've been blessed by your pastors and your missionaries that came to Romania. We've been blessed to have this church supporting Emmanuel University. This year we celebrate 30 years since the school started. We have graduates in 40 countries of the world. We have graduates in 40 countries of the world. Some of them are in those areas that Brother Monty asked us to pray for. Some of them are right there on the front line. They are paying the price. Some of them are in tiny, small villages. Some of them are in Siberia. Some of them are in central Russia. Some of them are in London. Some of them are in Madrid. Some of them are in Vienna, Austria. Some of them are in Australia. Some of them are even in this country, willing to pay the price. Are you awake? Have you expectations? Do you understand the hour? Are you ready to pay the price? And this is a great time, Pastor, for you to take it over.
Would you stand with us this morning? Would you bow your head for just a moment? And we're going to give an invitation. This time is now, and repeatedly, the gospel goes out. Today is the day of salvation. Do not boast yourself of tomorrow. So we don't know what tomorrow may bring. Dr. Negrutis painted that picture very well this morning. Our expectations, what are your expectations? The Holy Spirit of God has spoken to your heart, breathed upon you this morning, and you know that you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You know there's a need to come to Jesus. And maybe you've been waiting, but today He's pressed upon you your need to be saved. During this very important hour, will you come to Christ? Maybe in this building this morning, there's some young man, some young woman that God is calling you to take the gospel to the ends of the earth, and He's pressed upon your heart your need to surrender to go as a missionary or to be a pastor. He's calling you this morning. Brother Brad's going to lead us in just a moment. We're going to sing. Father, we thank you for this word. May we be awake in our generation, and may we be used by you to carry the gospel in this hour. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.